Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Our subject or topic, whichever you prefer, as we continue in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Is New Testament giving, or as some prefer to call it, grace giving. And I think it's good to call it that because that helps us focus on what grace giving is. Grace giving is one of those phrases that I have learned over the years doesn't mean the same thing to everybody. Grace giving, what does that mean? Well, that means there's no requirements, there's no commands, there's no obligations, and we aren't expected to give much. Grace giving, as opposed to that legalistic Old Testament tithing and so forth. Well, just check it out in places like 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and see if that really is what grace giving is all about. And I would submit to you that it is not. Grace giving is generous giving. It is sacrificial giving. It is giving beyond what we normally would think we could give, but we can because of God's grace. Grace is God's enabling power at our place of inability, and therefore grace giving is God enabling us to do what otherwise, without His grace, we would not be able to do. And so Paul is dealing with that in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 as he writes to the Corinthian church and urges them to get back into gear in regard to this project offering that he's taking up among Gentile churches for the beleaguered saints in Jerusalem, something that they evidently had committed themselves to maybe a year before and had started giving in the manner that Paul instructed them in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, on the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered, that there be no collections when I come. But somewhere along the line, they had failed to continue following through with that which they had begun, that which they had committed to do. And now they were in danger of having Paul come to receive their commitment, yes, commitment. That doesn't sound like grace giving to some people, but that's exactly what's going on here in 2 Corinthians 8. Paul would come to receive their commitment and they wouldn't have it. It wouldn't be ready. So that's what Paul is writing about, and we will continue on this Tuesday, May 30. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for helping us pay the bills on the radio station to continue teaching on this particular station where you are listening. Well, skipping through what we have looked at, I'm going to jump down to the last part of this, I guess I'd call it the second section, where Paul gives some clarifications about this manner of giving, and in a sense gives us four principles that he wants them to understand about giving. And the first one is that God does not require more than you are able to do when it comes to giving. Verse 12. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. So start there. God is not demanding that you give more than you are able. Now, Paul didn't hesitate to tell them that the Macedonian churches gave more than they were able. So he does tell them about the Macedonian miracle, and he doesn't tell them that for no purpose at all. It is so that some of them will learn to expand their vision of what they can do with by the grace of God and trust God to enable them to do more than they would normally be able to do, because that's what the Macedonian churches did. But that's not what Paul is demanding of them, not at all. He doesn't demand a Macedonian miracle, but he does expect a willing heart. He does expect them to desire to give. Grace giving is giving that comes from a heart that desires to give. The grace of God does that. And so he says in verse 12 again, if there is first a willing mind, a willing mind, a willing heart, that's where it begins. You need to have that kind of a mind. And then when you do, the normal principle is a proportionate amount of giving. That's the principle throughout the Word of God. You give in proportion to what God has placed at your disposal, which really isn't far afield from tithing. Tithing is a proportionate response to what God has entrusted to you. So if God gives you $100 a week and you give 10, that's a good proportion for a $100 income, which is, of course, well, would be considered very small to many people, but in certain circumstances, teenagers who are saving for college, working part-time and so forth, that might be very appropriate. So you have a $100 a week income and you give 10, that's a proper proportion. You have a $1,000 a week income and give 100, that's a tithe. That's a proper proportion. You should give more than the person who receives 100. If you'll give a tithe, you will give 10 times as much, but that's proportionate giving. You're giving in proportion to what God has given to you. And even though there's not a direct command to tithe in the New Testament, like there is in the Old Testament, a direct command for God's people to tithe, at least under the Mosaic law, there is nevertheless the same principle of proportionate giving. We give in response to what God has given to us. We give in proportion to what God has given to us. And that's what Paul tells us in verse 12. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what one does not have. So God does not require more than you are able. He requires a reasonable, proportionate response out of a willing heart. Number two, God does not expect unequal sacrifice. Verse 13, for I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened. What does he mean by that? Well, the saints in Jerusalem were persecuted and were impoverished because of the trials and difficulties that they were experiencing. Now, if Paul is expecting the Corinthians to give so much that they become impoverished by the level of their giving, then all they've done is shifted the burden of poverty from Jerusalem to Corinth. The Corinthian church's giving impoverished them, and the reason they're giving in this project offering is to help the impoverished saints at Jerusalem. So God doesn't expect unequal sacrifice. He doesn't expect you to impoverish yourself in order to help the poverty of others. He expects you to respond to the poverty of others, but not at such a level that you end up making yourself poorer than the people you're trying to help. And so God expects not an unequal sacrifice, but an equalizing response. Some of your surplus, God has blessed you with more than is needed. Some of your surplus needs to go to the saints at Jerusalem who have less than what they need. And so when he says, I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, I don't expect the Jerusalem saints' poverty to be eased, to be alleviated. in a manner that makes you now impoverished. So about as soon as the messengers get there to Jerusalem to help them with your gift, they're going to have to respond to your poverty and turn around and send a gift back to you. No, that's not it. God does not expect unequal sacrifice. And a third principle is God understands changing circumstances, and this is important. When he says in verse 14, "But by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality." It's simple. What is he saying? He's saying when you have an abundance, you should share it. When you are in need, others should share with you. Abundance is not simply for personal enjoyment. It is God has given it to you so that you are in a position to help others. And so you give while you can, you give while you have, because your circumstances may change. And you may be the person who needs help. And if you were the person who turned a deaf ear to the needs of others when they needed help, then you have no right to expect, you have no right to hope that others are going to respond to your need when your time of need comes. And so give while you have, because circumstances may change, and if they do, you're not expected to give at the same level that you did before your circumstances changed. You're not expected to give, in other words, if you were giving, let's go back to that tithing situation, if you were receiving $1,000 a week and you were tithing $100, and then you lose your job and your income drops to maybe $300 a week with unemployment or whatever, well, God doesn't expect you to keep giving the $100. Your circumstances have changed. You're not able to do that. But you should still do something. In the tithing principle, you should do 30 instead of 100. But you should do something. But you don't give or not required to give at the same level you did before. But if you do, and the Macedonian churches did, they gave beyond their ability, and if you do, God is committed to meet your need. That's what the scripture tells us, but God understands changing circumstances. And so if you commit yourself to give a certain amount and then you make that commitment based upon what your steady income has been over a period of time, and suddenly that changes, then you're not dishonoring the Lord if you adjust your giving according to the changing circumstances. And then number four, God supplies our needs. And that takes us to verse 15. As it is written in Scripture, of course, as it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Now that takes us back to the lessons from manna in Exodus chapter 16, when God supplied food from heaven for the people of God in the wilderness. God supplies our needs. God supplies our needs as the need arises. He didn't give manna in Egypt where they had plenty to eat, but he gave it to them in the wilderness where they didn't. So God supplies needs as the need arises. When God gives a surplus, it is not for personal hoarding, but the needs of others are an opportunity for us to share, to demonstrate love and kindness and concern. And so reasonable saving is God-honoring. Remember, under the manna, they collected double for the Sabbath. That was a type of savings. Every other day, they collected what they needed for that day, and then on Friday, they collected double for the Sabbath. It was a short-term savings, but that was a savings program. God's not against savings, but excessive hoarding dishonors God, and that's the point, and we'll have to come back tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.